Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 133. My name is John. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. My personal goal is to average one 30 to 35 minute podcast per month. There are two main reasons for such a small amount of time compared to most podcasts out there. First, I don't have the time to do more than that each month. Second, I don't want to think about politics that much. I've been doing this for 11 years. Yeah, I'm just one nondescript guy you'd never look at twice if you saw me walking down the street. There's no way I could spend more of my time and mental capacity on trying to make some sense of the massive shitstorm that is the American political landscape without getting paid for it. There's only so much time I can take watching the blatant hypocrisy of the two major political parties and voluntary ignorance of their followers without needing a break from it all. That's part of the reason I started mixing in non-political topics, to take a break from the foolishness. Even that isn't enough. I purposely did extra podcasts last year to get ahead of that one per month average in order to have a little hiatus. I figured January and February would be good for that. I mean, sure, there would be a despot change in that time, but really, what could possibly happen? 5 days after my last podcast, idiots stormed the U.S. Capitol. A couple of weeks later, the Biden regime began by doing the exact opposite of what they promised during their campaign. 6 weeks after my last podcast, the state that I live in was hit by unprecedented weather that nearly crippled its infrastructure. And a radio legend passed away. When I finally got back to writing, it didn't take long to realize I had enough for two podcasts. This will focus on the events beginning in January, and the next will be for the February events. I wasn't paying much attention to the news on January 6th. My wife and I started the day as normal. We had a little brekkie, got the cats fed, and once she started her work day, I went upstairs and started my looking for work day. After a few hours, I took a break and checked the news online. I saw the first videos of people climbing walls and storming the Capitol building. To be honest, the first words out of my mouth were, "You've gotta be fucking kidding me." As I scrolled through the stories, another thought crossed my mind. I can't believe these idiots think that using Antifa tactics would work at the Capitol. I saw the video of the guard's arm very slowly and steadily taking aim and killing a woman in a group of people trying to get through some barricaded doors. I honestly didn't look for too long. I was trying to take a break from the idiocy, remember? I watched these fucking morons doing something that made absolutely no sense. And I knew it would take no time at all for this to push the nation one more step closer to its death knell. First off, make no mistake about this crap. It's only domestic terrorism if it's done by your political opponents. If Trump had won and Antifa had stormed the Capitol on January 6th, left-wingers would have been jerking off to the live feed while right-wingers would be screeching for public executions. So all y'all Democrats and Republicans can get the fuck off your high horse right now thinking you have some kind of moral high ground over the other. Never forget that in a time of crisis, American politicians will work tirelessly to solve the problem of how to convince you their opponents are to blame. Like clockwork, the political spin machines went into overdrive. Immediately, the comparisons to the BLM riots last summer popped up all over social media. I'm going to compare and contrast the two here, even though it's already been done ad nauseum. The first thing I want to consider is the motivation for each of these situations. The BLM protests began after the latest instances of police brutality against African Americans. Now, I know there are people out there who will debate some of the data reported by the media. How many of these situations involved weapons being drawn on the police? How many of these situations involved crimes? And by that, I mean the libertarian definition, where a criminal is violating the rights of another person. I did some preliminary research into that because I want the full picture, not just what one side or the other wants me to see. However, regardless of the answers to these questions, there are African Americans having their rights violated and lives taken by police who could very well have racist motivations. I can't imagine any scenario where I would want to go out and destroy something with a crowd of angry people. I would hope I could overcome herd mentality if I found myself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Nevertheless, I would probably be much more likely to riot if I felt law enforcement was maliciously targeting people like me than if I thought a political party had cheated and stolen an election. Did the Democrats steal the 2020 presidential election? I mean, it's possible. But there's video proof of out-of-control police brutalizing African Americans. Given what we know for sure, I can more readily understand the BLM movement saying, "We're as mad as hell, and we're not going to take this anymore." That being said, the next thing I consider is the focus of the rioting. I will grant the right-wingers one thing. They rioted at the place they felt was responsible for what they thought was wrong. The federal government is the culprit in their eyes, so they stormed one of the branches of the federal government. They took their anger to the entity they believed guilty. The left-wing BLM riots against police brutality, for the most part, did not target the police. Instead, countless innocent business owners and their employees suffered because of the actions of the left-wing rioters. In fact, neighborhoods where the riots took place suffered exponentially more than the police. Now, don't get me wrong. Attacking a place like a police station where people are well-trained in and well-stocked with firearms is asinine and suicidal. But that doesn't mean you burn down the places where your neighbors try to earn a living as a substitute. So, yeah, I don't think the motivation for the Capitol riot was justified, but at least they directed their destruction at the people they blame. Regardless of all of that, what happened was a disgrace. You don't initiate violence to resolve a dispute. That's a libertarian core belief. Even if you can make the case that the election was fraudulent and you get irrefutable proof, that still doesn't justify storming the Capitol building. The message from government and the media is clear. All you private citizen nobodies who were stupid enough to try to make a living in a place where riots took place, well, it's too bad for you, but you have to understand those people who destroyed your livelihood were angry and they needed to vent. Conversely, those politicians who created the toxic environment We must do everything we can to protect our precious overlords and fuck whatever the reasons are from the insurrectionists. I do think there should be rampant distrust of the government. I finally got around to watching the short-lived series Firefly. It gave me one of the best all-time lines I've ever heard. A government is a body of people, usually, notably, ungoverned. Yes, I do think every accusation of voter fraud should be seriously investigated. I do think it's possible that computer systems could be compromised and vote tallies corrupted. I do think it's possible that some people are voting more than once and that votes are being cast under the names of people who have died. I do think that in our society, as it is right now, with all the things you are required to show identification for, voting is the most important place where you should prove your identity. Since I seem to be going off on a bit of a conspiracy theory tangent, I would also like to know exactly why security failed so miserably at the Capitol. Why were some of the rioters simply allowed inside? Why did it seem like one officer was waving people to go into the building? Are these officers part of the pro-Trump crowd who believe the election was stolen and they want the insurrection to succeed? Perhaps they were Biden loyalists who knew the mob would be the perfect optics to galvanize support for the incoming regime. This is Washington, D.C., after all. I don't put anything past these devious bastards anymore. Let's be just as serious about getting the truth about this situation as we are about finding racist cops. Now, if you can't tell from my tone so far, I find the actions of the rioters to be disgusting. I also find anyone lying about what happened in order to take political advantage of the situation to be nearly as disgusting. Who would do such a thing? According to Newsweek, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that rioters actually entered her office, forcing her to take refuge inside her bathroom after her legislative director told her to hide, hide, run, and hide. AOC said, "And so I run back into my office, I slam my door, there's another kind of like back area to my office, and I open it, and there's a closet and a bathroom, and I jump into my bathroom." AOC stated that as members of the mob banged against the door, she believed, "This was the moment where I thought everything was over." Except there's one problem. Rioters never reached her office. She was in a building across the street during the riots. She completely lied about the danger she was in, and Newsweek had to retract its story. It should come as no surprise to anyone that Newsweek ran the story without checking the facts first. We do not have news media or journalists in America anymore. We have town criers who do nothing more than proclaim exactly what their masters have told them to say to the public. She lied about what happened in order to gain sympathy and political standing. I've said before that people who lie about bigotry, assault, and rape make it more difficult for legitimate victims. And AOC should be ashamed of herself. I want to make my thoughts on this legislator perfectly clear. AOC is every bit as poisonous to this nation as Donald Trump's acerbic attitude. She is labeled as a socialist, but her rhetoric has communist overtones. She is the harbinger. The more she advances in the federal government, the closer our constitutional rights will be to complete loss. The fact that a person of such ideology can even be elected in this nation that supposedly values individual liberty and personal responsibility is proof that this country is done for. Unless her constituents come to their senses and vote her out of office, these lies will be forgotten. She'll be groomed for higher political office while she continues to advocate for forced centralized government control. She will take this nation on the final step from socialism to communism. This is nothing I haven't stated before. The Democrats take us to communism. The Republicans take us to imperialism. So we're boned either way. At this point, I'm just trying to keep the ideals of liberty alive long enough so I die of old age minutes before the American Gestapo kicks down my door to arrest me. This Capitol riot is just the next stage in the cancer of our two-party system. They each just trade the tactics and rhetoric of the other and adapt it to their version of morality.
Well, if they can riot, we can riot. If they can say our candidate is illegitimate, we can say their candidate is illegitimate.
Obama is elected and the Republicans say, he's not my president. Trump is elected and the Democrats say, he's not my president. Hell, that even goes back to Clinton and Bush. So it's no surprise how each political party and their followers behaved. Predictable reactions for both sides. However, I do think a lot more right-wingers were immediately vocal about condemning the Capitol riot than the left-wingers were in condemning the BLM riots. Most of the left-wingers seem to need to, you know, wait a few days to see which direction the winds of public opinion were blowing before they chose how to respond on social media. From an outsider standpoint, I found the whole situation perfectly summed up the hypocrisy of both sides of the political aisle. Remember when those people who climbed over the West Wing of the Capitol thought that a border wall would stop people? Remember when those politicians who demanded that fencing be erected around the Capitol thought that border fencing would never keep people out? Of course, you can smell the hypocrisy anytime people who favor gun bans decide to surround themselves with heavily armed guards. Both sides are so grotesquely full of shit, there isn't enough prune juice in the world to flush it all out. Did Trump incite the riots? I guess it depends upon your interpretation of what he said and your preconceived notions of his intention. If you assume that he wants the riots to happen, then you will assume his speech was meant to trigger the attack. I went through his Twitter archive and listened to the speech he made prior to the march on the Capitol. He talked about going to the Capitol to cheer on those in Congress who support them, but nothing about storming the building. Over the preceding weeks, he made many references to fighting for their side, but politicians use fighting metaphors all the time, and no one ever assumes they mean it literally. You have to want to believe his intention is to incite a riot in order to interpret his tweets and speech that way. If you think that speech filled with encouragement to cause confrontation is responsible for other people's actions, then you should also denounce similar speech coming from the other side of the political aisle. I have to admit, I liked the video the Republicans released of Democrat politicians and celebrities saying similar, and in some cases much worse, things than Trump said. That's not to excuse Trump if he did indeed want a riot to start. But you can't let hypocrites get away with it. The fact is, tough talk and threatening rhetoric have been part of politics for a long, long time. Did the Democrats steal the 2020 presidential election? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. What does it matter? We are done as a nation already. The cancer has already permeated the body. It's just a matter of time. Instead of this nation continuing its track toward imperialism under Trump, we are resuming our track toward communism under Biden. Instead of your great-grandchildren waking up in the world of V for Vendetta, they'll wake up in Orwell's 1984. The only thing that matters now between the two major political parties, and the only reason they appear to oppose each other, is who gets the final control, the imperialists or the communists. Why didn't the Obama administration destroy the Patriot Act when they had the ability to do so? Why didn't the Trump administration destroy the Affordable Health Care Act when they had the ability to do so? The answer in both cases, they didn't want to. It's all about control over you. It's just a matter of who gets that control in the end. The parties have more in common than they're willing to admit. Not only are they both pro-war, anti-privacy, and anti-freedom, they have a disturbing myopia for their presidential candidates. I guess this has been going on from the beginning, but it sure seems like it's gotten worse in recent generations. I remember how gung-ho Republicans were for Reagan, despite the Iran-Contra affair. Later, Democrats unquestionably supported Clinton, despite sexual assault allegations. As we've lost more and more of our individual liberty, people have become more inclined toward this type of thinking. I guess if we're giving more power to the presidency to the point where it mutates to, I don't know, chancellor, king, emperor, we may as well start worshiping and deifying the person we're putting in this position. Some Democrats treated Obama like a messianic figure. Unfortunately, that same type of groupthink carried over to the Republicans towards Trump. It is startling how bad it has gotten in just the past 15 years, and it doesn't look like the trend is going to slow down. I swear, some of those 81 million who voted for Biden must be into GILF porn, because they spent the first 24 hours of his presidency figuratively sucking his dick all over social media. The sad thing is, we're nearly 2 months into his reign, and so many seem to still be on their knees waiting for the money shot, despite all the broken promises. Makes you wonder if he even knew what he was saying, or if somebody else has been pulling the strings. Back in the 80s, I remember the entertainment industry often parodied Reagan as either a doddering old coot who would one day accidentally push the button to start a nuclear war, or the facade of a silly old man who is secretly an evil mastermind. Either way, Joe Biden is in reality what the parody of Reagan was. Now, don't get me wrong. Trump promised to drain the swamp, and it didn't happen. He merely replaced Democrat swamp water with Republican swamp water. Trump added $7 trillion to our debt. The Republicans fail on their promises just as easily as the Democrats do. Both parties say exactly what they want their voters to hear because they know those will blindly follow them. And I do mean blind. How many times did we hear about the kids in cages on our southern border? You had Democrat politicians going down for photo ops, making sure the photographers snapped a pic of their grief at just the right angle. But that all started under the Obama administration that Biden was a part of. During the campaign, Biden made sure he told you that policy was not his, it was Obama's. So all his followers cheered the end of kids in cages. How few of them even batted an eye when it was announced Biden's transition team included the person responsible for the kids in cages immigration policy. If you're already a supporter, they know you're in their pocket. If you're not a supporter, they'll tell you whatever they think you want to hear in order to get your vote. On October 7th, Kamala Harris tweeted a promise that Joe Biden would not ban fracking. On his first day as president, Joe Biden promised to ban fracking. All you people in fracking states who trusted Biden to not damage your economy when he came into office learned immediately that they'd lie to your face and destroy your livelihood to get your vote. What the fuck do they need you for now anyway? You already voted for them. 3 years from now, they'll tell you another lie and count on their belief that you're stupid enough to forget what happened the last time. On October 15th, Joe Biden berated Trump's pandemic policies and stated that he had a plan, quote, to get this virus under control, end quote. Fuck, every day of the campaign, we heard if Biden was elected, he was going to get us to the end of this pandemic and get us back to normal. 2 days after his inauguration, 2 days into his presidency, Joe Biden stated, there is nothing we can do to stop this pandemic for the next several months. He never had a fucking plan. He never had an inkling of what to do. They said any shit they needed in order to get you to vote for them. And then it takes Biden less than a month to renew airstrikes in Syria that began during the Obama administration. The reason for the attack, according to the Biden administration, is retaliation for an attack on U.S. forces in Iraq. The attack on the U.S. forces were committed by Syrian fighters backed by Iran. And that's the key. The warmongers in Washington have been trying unsuccessfully for 20 years to get a president to start a war with Iran. None of them have taken the bait, but the saber rattling sure makes it seem like they finally found their mark. If you think Afghanistan and Iraq was a clusterfuck, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amongst the trillions of dollars they've already begun to add to our debt, the fracking and pipeline policies that are raising the price of gas for Americans, and an admitted lack of a plan to get COVID under control and get the unemployed back to work, Biden and the Democrats are again pushing for an increase to the minimum wage. I've said this before and I will continue to say it. The minimum wage increase is simply a cog in the government bureaucracy that makes the cost of living more and more expensive. This push to $15 is repressive clickbait for the myopic and willfully ignorant. The true solution is eliminating the taxation, overregulation, and bureaucracy that have made the cost of living so damn high. When all is said and done, this is merely the transition from an imperialist ideology to a socialist ideology in the executive branch. We will still be at war. American soldiers will continue to die in military actions across the globe. Natural rights will continue to be assaulted, taken from you, and then ransomed back in the form of taxation and regulation. Both major political parties, their sycophants, and their media allies will continue to promote fear, hatred, and prejudice between Americans simply because we look, think, or believe differently from each other. They will continue to try to force their version of morality on you. Orange Man Tyrant is out. Creepy Uncle Tyrant is in. There is nothing new under the sun. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.